ideas.
Thank you for the comments. I'm going to try and squeeze in some more of your texts before six. After six, we'll talk showbiz. It is an all-female panel tonight. Gemma Garn, Jackie Travers, and Meredith Hepner-Chapman. It should be rather feisty. I should just take a back seat and let them get on with it. But this story, a Milton Keynes man is to adapt a historical novel for television. Nicholas Jones has been commissioned to adapt Michael Roman's book, The Two Lives of Grand Duke Michael, and he's even hoping to shoot some of the scenes in the Three Counties. And Nicholas joins us now. Nicholas, very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to the programme. For people who don't know Michael Roman's book, The Two Lives of Grand Duke Michael, what's the story?
Well, first, it's probably a good idea to explain who Grand Duke Michael was. He was the Emperor of Russia for one day. He was the very last man to hold that title. In fact, nominally, he was in the job for another 6 months, but he always lived in the shadow of his much more famous brother, Nicholas, who was, of course, killed with his son and four daughters, one of whom was Princess Anastasia. Michael was reputedly killed a month before Nicholas, but his body was never found, and for a long time it was generally believed that he still lived. And given that they've trawled every inch of Russia trying to find the bodies of dead royals, it is quite possible he did live. This book begins while he's obviously still alive, but takes the premise that in fact he didn't die and that he was rescued, and he came to Britain with the help of a man who did indeed live, called Salomon Rosenblum, better known as Riley Ace of Spies, and came back to Britain where he became a pretender for the throne and remarried and produced an heir.
Russian history is complex, like most things to do with Russia. But the history of the Tsars, there is this romance still about this particular story. It's kind of just the fascination is still there.
In Russia, this is the strange thing. I once made a documentary when it was still the Soviet Union, and that period had been completely airbrushed out of their history. But you can't get away from it. The buildings, the palaces, they were put there by Tsars, not on the whole by Lenin and Stalin. There is a kind of enduring romance, but somebody once said that monarchy is only really attractive in decline, and rather unkind thing to say, but that is, I think, what gives an allure to this tragic family. They were reputedly the richest family in the world at one point because they did actually own Russia, and Michael therefore was briefly the richest man in the world.
For one day?
Well, for a day, yes.
Bizarre. So, Nicholas, you've been commissioned to adapt this book. Yeah. Where does you? I mean, look, we know the process. We think we know the process. The book commissioned, the production, the product. But what does that actually entail?
A very good question. It firstly requires a lot of thinking. Secondly, in any novel, you have to look at it and think, what is the actual structure? What is the start, the middle, the end? What are the high points? What is the motivation? And there also, I'm always looking, like any other writer, to see how does the character develop? Where's the dramatic tension? Michael was 38 when he became emperor for a day. He actually had to start growing up at 38. He always knew that one day he might inherit the throne because his nephew was a haemophiliac, of course, Alexis. At 38, he suddenly had to give up the playboy life, and life became very complicated afterwards. That's the drama.
Okay, the book, I mean, because sometimes people say, I've seen the film, the TV show, it isn't the same as the book. But that's because a book is one thing, and a film or a television show, a drama, is something else. It has to appeal to another audience. So how do you start to unpick this and start creating the visuals?
Right, well, I'll try and answer two things there. Firstly, you have to try and find the skeleton, like the bone structure under the fish you're eating. You have to work out what are the bits which, if you leave them out, the story will no longer work. But secondly, how do you visualize it? Of course, you tell a story as much through pictures as through words. A book, of course, you have to describe it on the page. You have to imagine the magnificent world in which this man is living. And of course, it runs from Hertfordshire to St. Petersburg. It's a quite unusual orbit.
And they lived in opulence. So you're looking apparently to shoot some scenes across the three counties. People don't sometimes see this, but we can take some corners of the three counties and turn them into something completely different. Is that going to be part of the plan here?
What is definitely part of the story is that Michael lived in Nebworth House. for 1 year before World War One. He was, this was when he was, shall we put it, in his wild years. He was still immensely rich, but his brother had more or less said, I don't like your choice of wife, will you please go and live somewhere else? A very hierarchical structure in that family.
And he came to Nebworth.
He rented Nebworth for, I've looked it up, £3,000 a year. Now, you're going to say, well, how much is that today? A train driver...
Hang on. How much is that today?
A train driver was perhaps earning £100 a week, £100 a year at the time.
Oh, right.
Multiply that by 30. I know train drivers are very well paid now,
but
you're
Nebworth
looking
House.
At £1.5 to £2 million to rent the place for a year, and that is quite a sum.
Will you be going back to Nebworth House, Nicholas?
Well, obviously we would ask them. You don't always find the place you want. They may not particularly want you, but somewhere either that looks like it, or yes, we would we want to go there.
What sort of deadline have they given you to produce this?
Well, at this stage, I'm doing the writing. I really need to have the investors behind me. I need to have the outlines for each episode really written within a couple of weeks, so it's all go at the moment, and then hopefully we will move on to flesh them out into actual scripts. You just, as I said, once you know what you're trying to do, as you know yourself as a journalist, it's I wouldn't say it's easy, but once you know what you're trying to
you can
actually focus on doing it.
Okay. Well, a pleasure to meet you. So, and I'm curious about your background, because you have a very rich background in the world of television.
Well, I've worked in BBC Local Radio. I've worked at your next-door neighbour station, Radio Northampton. But yeah, for the BBC, I've mainly worked on documentaries like Horizon and Bookmark. And I've done a wide range of stories. So they've often had a historical or biographical feel. I've done several documentaries about Frank Whittle, who invented the jet engine. I did a biography of Wilbert Audrey, who, of course, created Thomas the Tank Engine. Biographies are great stories because they've happened. You can embellish them, as we're going to do with the Two Lives of Grand Duke Michael.
I've not read Michael Roman's book, The Two Lives of Grand Duke Michael, but you've painted a very interesting picture. I'm thinking, I might need to find out some more about this character.
It's a fascinating book, and I'm delighted to say that it's already available at Waterstones in Milton Keynes. What is fascinating about this story is that we know this man lived, but he lived in the shadow of his tragic brother, and what will become clear is if he had been the ruler, history would have been a lot different. We might not have had the communist revolution and, I don't know, 20, 30 million dead.
Wow. Nicholas, pleasure meeting you. Thank you, and good luck with your project. Nicholas Jones has been commissioned to adapt Michael Roman's book, The Two Lives of Grand Duke Michael. Some of the scenes could be shot here in the Three Counties. Let me update you on another local story, because